the house, and the request were turned down by the chief whip. That's why we only arrived now. That's the only explanation I can give. According to our program, we will now take the presentation by the Department of Basic Education. Who will lead the presentation, the discussion? And please introduce your team, that you may proceed immediately.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. My name is Bobby Subrayan. I'm the Director General of the Department of Basic Education. Joining me from the department is our acting CFO, Mr. Moleka, who's immediately on my left, diagonally behind me. Next to her is Mr. Padiachi, acting DDG of the Branch Planning and Monitoring, also from the Department of Basic Education. Thank you very much. I believe, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, that based on the previous presentations here, this committee wanted us to focus on conditional grants and to make the presentation as quickly as possible. Can I confirm that that is your wish? If it is, then I'll proceed from slide 12, which is conditional grants.
Yes, and your input on the recommendations made by the FFC. Because that is the document we dealt with this morning when the FFC made their presentation. And that was the instruction that went out to the department. What are your input on the recommendation?
Now, we regret, Honorable Chairperson, we've not looked at that and have...
Did you get the letter of invitation with the explanation of the content of the meeting?
Yes, we did. I'm just going to ask my acting CFO just to comment.
Yes, Chairperson, we did get the letter, the invitation, but we did not have the recommendations from the FFC.
So you are not familiar with the recommendations of the FFC?
The team heard the recommendations here today, Honorable Chairperson. We've not received it before that.
So you are not... You are not actually prepared to make an input?
No, we've not looked at it and prepared to make an input.
All the members?
Yeah, Chairperson, it's definitely going to be difficult because we're just simply going to hear a story other than responses to the recommendations that have been made, which is supposed to be influencing other processes of funding to come. We thought that we were going to get a response to that, whether you agree with them or you have got other different views. But now, if you have not seen them, that means you're just going to get a story on the conditional grounds as far as basic education. I'm not sure whether that will help the intention that we had here. Thank you.
I've got the letter of invitation in my hand that was sent out on the 3rd of August. To the departments and the ministers. Your hand?
Yeah, Chair, thanks. In light of the fact that we did, through no fault of our own, keep everyone waiting for 2 hours, it is heartbreaking. But I mean, the point of this sitting, I agree with Honorable Mashile, is to engage with the department's views on these recommendations. If they haven't prepared a report in line with that, then I'm afraid it's not really serving the purpose of this committee.
Honourable members, we are continuing this meeting tomorrow starting at 10 o'clock and up till 1 o'clock, then break. There's again a joint sitting tomorrow afternoon. Then we will reconvene again at about 4 o'clock. We will liaise again with the whippery and carry on until we finish. Will it be able for you to do a preparation through, and that's now putting you under pressure, through the night?
No.
To come back to the committee tomorrow. Otherwise, if you go back and come again to Cape Town, it's wasteful expenditure. We are concerned about that as well, about the budget.
No, indeed, Honorable Chairperson, now that we have the recommendations, we can indeed do that. I'm going to just say to the committee at this point that today you'll be aware that the public sector unions declared a strike. So I'm under immense pressure at the moment as of the announcement in relation to managing the strike in schools. We've had major problems in schools. So that's my pressure. In any case, I'm working through the night. I must ask in advance that if tomorrow things turn really bad, if the committee can allow my acting CFO to present, we will assist. I will assist with the preparation tonight. But if things are bad tomorrow, if the committee and honourable members will allow me to attend to that tomorrow, I'll appreciate it.
Honourable members? It's a difficult situation that that they are in. My wife's a teacher. She will be at school tomorrow. I believe in power sharing, but sometimes I'm the boss. we then release this department to do their preparation and call them back tomorrow. Department of Higher Education, there they are. Familiar faces. Welcome again.
So the recommendation regarding the bill.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just apologies from the Director General. She was prepared to be present, but unfortunately she's got a meeting in Newlands with the Minister together with the National Student Financial Aid Scheme, so she unfortunately had to leave, and she apologized. Chair, in terms of our presentation, I'm going to focus specifically, I think, on only about three or four slides to prevent the committee to go through all the details. Firstly, I'll focus on slide number 3 and slide number 4 as numbered, which is specifically matters raised by the FSC in their report. And then I will go to the third part of the presentation, page number 6, just to focus slightly on the FET colleges conditional grant and perhaps just some background on that, and the future of that specific grant from our perspective. See, then the first part, slide number 3, is basically just to highlight three of the areas specifically linked to education that the FFC mentioned in their report. That is the maintenance of high access levels to education, the introduction of a block grant for education, which was discussed this morning as well, and then the independent cost effectiveness and quality review, which would include education across the public and private sectors. And the department support all three of those. I could mention that even last year, the FFC in the first review report also included the block grant matter for education, and that was supported at that point in time as well. On slide number 4, there is one area that we would like to bring to the attention of the committee. There's very strong emphasis in the report of the FFC on social assistance reforms. And the department is of the opinion that a strong role could be played by the department, especially in terms of the provisioning of education to out-of-school youth. Now, there is currently investigations going on how this could happen. So everything is not yet fully in plan and not ready to roll out in full. But from the current information that we have, it is clear that approximately 2.7 million youth, it's actually more, in the age group around 15 to 25, are what they refer to as the NEET group, N-E-E-T. They are not employed, they are not in education, and they are not in training. And the question is, where are they and what are they doing? And of these, in the age group 15 to 18, which is actually still a school-based group, more than 450,000 of those youth are not in school. So of the 2.7 million, approximately 450,000 is still under the age of 18, which one could argue is still school-going age. Those learners are not in school, they are not in any other training facility, and they are not employed. And the big issue for the department now, and I think that is one of the big challenges for the new Department of Higher Education and Training, is to see how one can accommodate the out-of-school youth, as we refer to, between the age group of 15 to 25, and then also with some emphasis on the smaller group, 15 to 18. Now, we are considering a situation of creating or establishing what we would now refer to as community education and training centers, especially for the younger group, that one try to move learners, if they drop out of school, let's say at grade 9 or grade 10, there's even examples of grade 11, that one have community education and training centers where alternative education measures can be put into place to ensure that those kids are not lost in the education system on the one hand, but also not just going to street and do nothing at all. So that's one area that we are looking at the moment. The one factor, and that is something that we would like to bring to the attention not only of the FFC, but perhaps also the National Treasury, is that when one then look at the division of revenue and at the equitable share, currently the equitable share is based on the fact that the input for all youth from age 6 to 18, basically the money is distributed to provincial education departments for education purposes. And one may have to look into this matter of rather focusing in terms of the funding of provincial education, in terms of the actual enrollments or planned enrollments in that age group, and that we start to make provision for this out-of-school portion, and perhaps money reallocated to the Department of Higher Education and Training as soon as we have the process of the community centers in place. Chairperson, then I'm going through to slide number 6, which is specifically then on the FET colleges conditional grant. Now, this is obviously a Schedule 4 grant, and it was allocated to the department as from this year. The main focus of the grant is to ensure the successful transfer of the FET colleges function to the department. Now, as from the establishment of the department, it was gazetted and announced that the FET college function will now become a national competency. The difficulty that we sit with is it is still, in terms of the constitution, it is still a provincial competency. Although the National Act has been referred to the national minister, and in practice and in principle, the FET colleges now have to report to the national minister and the national accounting officer. However, we have a memoranda of understanding and agreement with all the provinces, between the minister and the MECs, between our accounting officer and the various accounting officers of the provincial education departments, that they actually continue to perform this function. In negotiations with Treasury, it was agreed that the funding of FET colleges will move fully to national level, and that we will then deal with the funding in terms of a Schedule 4 conditional grant. So on a monthly basis, we basically transfer funds to the provinces. The provinces then pay the subsidies to the FET colleges. They continue with the administration of the colleges, and the national department plays an important monitoring role in that respect. Now, the funding at the moment consists of not only the subsidies to FET colleges, but also compensation of employees, not only of college-level staff, but also the FET staff at provincial level. So your managers at the Provincial Education Department who's dealing with the FET colleges, they are also funded through this conditional grant. It also includes other support functions at provincial level, and then also any improvements in conditions of service or normal salary increases. That is also included in the conditional grant. I must perhaps just here mention that in terms of the salary increases, there is a separate allocation in the grant, a separate amount earmarked for salary increases. That amount is not transferred to provinces. In terms of this morning's debate, we actually withhold that amount. The reason being that until we don't have a final resolution in the bargaining chamber, that money will not be transferred, and provision is made in the grant framework for that purpose as well. So the moment we have a resolution in terms of the salary increases, the department will start to include that as a portion of the normal transfer that we do of the conditional grant to provinces. Chairperson, then the amounts currently in terms of this conditional grant. For the current financial year, the second last bullet, we have 3.7 billion rand. And then in the last bullet, one can see that it grows to 3.9 billion next year, going up to 4.3, almost 4.4 billion in the year 2013-14. That is the revised baseline in terms of the MTF allocations that we have currently. Slide number 7 just reflects the allocation and estimates per province, perhaps just to give some indication thereof. I don't think it's necessary that we go into full detail there. And then in terms of slide number 8, most of those I've already alluded to. That is just the issue of that we already have a memorandum of agreement with all the provinces. The legal way forward, the third bullet, is perhaps just important that over the medium term, we're talking about the next 2 to 3 years, we are busy with a review of the current FET Act. That is to make provision for all the places in the Act, just its more technical changes, where there's reference to the specific member of the Executive Committee of Provinces, that now become the Minister of Higher Education and Training and similar type of issues. Over the longer term, there will have to be a review in terms of the Constitution Schedule 4A to look into the question and the matter around the FET colleges that must now be a national function. Chairperson, slide number 9, I think that is basically the last one that I could just quickly refer to. In that slide, just perhaps some of the key outputs of the grant, which is in the Division of Revenue Act at the moment. There will not be major changes to this, as this is based on the current subsidies of the FET colleges. So the grant framework and all the conditions of the grant will mainly remain the same over the MTF. So as we have it for the current financial year, it is the whole issue about enrollment planning for the NCV programs, the expansion of ICT for teaching and learning, the continuation of the implementation of the management information systems, moving towards a transversal service in that respect, the implementation of the approved funding norms for FET colleges, and then also the infrastructure spending, which is all based on approved programs by the department by each of the FET colleges. So I'm going to conclude with that, and if there's any questions, thank you.
Thank you. All the members, questions? There's a hand. Put down. Honourable Makubela, Honourable Mashile, and Honourable Harris, in that order.
Vice Chairperson, I'm checking here on page 5, the establishment of a university in Mpumalanga and the Northern Cape. I'm seeing here the 2011-2012. Is this money earmarked or budgeted for the financial year? And if so, when is the actual way going to start? Because you will see this thing only theoretical on paper. Seeing that we are establishing new colleges, there is those colleges which were there previously and they're just being vandalized. What are you doing about those colleges? For example, I'm having a very big college in Giani, a state-of-the-art college, that one. But nothing is being done. Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Makubela. Yes, I asked the same question when we met with the department early in the year. And the process will be done in phases regarding the university for the Northern Cape and Mpumalanga over a period of time. And it seems to me that the period of time is quite a long one. Mm. But they can take us further. Honorable Mashile.
Yeah, thanks, Jefferson. There is no way that I can avoid Mpumalanga University. There is no way. And that's where the sunrise is. Yeah. Yeah. I'm seeing the 2011-2012 moving to 2012-2013. And then we have got the difference in the allocation. I think it's about 100 million. I just want to understand what is there that we're trying to fund here. Are we funding to sustain the current operations as we move forward, or there is a serious commitment of starting these particular institutions on the ground? I'm aware about those institutes that we have been talking about, which, as far as I'm concerned, I think they are not giving concrete evidence to our people that this government is now serious about implementing that decision that has been taken. Because people, when they are in Mpumalanga, they can't find this university. I don't know where this university is, but that institute is somewhere. It's hanging somewhere around. And people need to be practically convinced. And I think we do have to do something about that. I understand that. I think in our recommendations, I think of last year, we talked about something like 2014, that by 2014 I think we should be having concrete established universities. But Chair, 2014 is too far. It's always, if people do their work efficiently, there is nothing that stops them from actually really giving confidence to our people that the decision we have taken a couple of years back is now coming to life. If one can just understand exactly what is built in into this particular line on your schedule of the priorities. The second one is I've heard that with the conditional grants on the FETs, also is used to pay staff at provincial level. I'm not sure how the Department of Education Training really differentiates the staff at the provincial level. Because surely the HOD who's doing all sorts of things, but there is a portion that the HOD is doing in relation to the FET and the directors and all that. How do you really ensure that you are not funding people that are doing even things that have got nothing to do with the FET? And but then, Chair, is that is just simply to highlight one thing, is that the FET colleges, I think I've seen buildings in the Nkangala region. Some in the Nkangala region, buildings are getting dilapidated and disused and ignored and all sorts of things. And at Akonuk as well is the former Mapulaneng College, as well is that used to produce mechanics, electricians, and all sorts of things. And even the equipment, the tractors that people have been using, now they are disused things and they are getting rotted, and the buildings also, they are falling apart. And I'm not sure whether these particular grants that we are having, where they have to prepare these and revitalize them, whether they are really good doing as a service. Are we having enough resources that needs to actually get those institutions in the correct state that they can continue to produce as we wanted? Also, I want to hear a comment from higher education on the input or comment raised by health on the health professions, the conditional grant on health professions. Because there was an indication that there is a talk to transfer this to education and training. And what is their take on that particular matter? But Chair, just simply to expand a little bit on that one, is that when we listen to health, they raised the matter that they still want to train nurses and the rest internally at hospitals. But then on one side, they raised the matter that they negotiating to transfer this conditional grant to Department of Education and Training. And when I read the two statements that come from health, there is an indication that the conditional grant may be proposed to be split, because they still want to do some work internally. But they also agree that there is part that will go to the Department of Higher Education in terms of those sectors like the doctors and whatever that must go to academic training institutions. So I just want to hear from them whether they, as they move forward, and how are they seeing things. Chair, I think I'll stop there because I also want to go home.
The fact that the Northern Cape, and that's my province, don't have a university results, and that's a reality. The people, the young people who wants to study further, go to Northwest and University of the Western Cape. But they're not coming back to the Northern Cape. And when we have our own higher education facility like a university, it will assist to keep our people in the province and the skills. Yes. Honorable Harris.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, there are effectively four recommendations in this report. Three of them are from the FFC, which the department is supporting, and one is a kind of tweet proposal which they're slotting in with another recommendation. If I can just run through them quickly. The first one, maintaining high access levels to education. I don't think you'll find anyone in this country who doesn't agree with that. That's a non-controversial recommendation. Introducing a block grant for education over the medium to long term. Similar to the question I asked before the break, is this national department suggesting that there are provincial departments, or provinces rather, that aren't allocating their education departments sufficient share of their equitable share? Because if you're arguing for a block grant, which is effectively a conditional grant with lower conditions, then you're saying that some provinces are mismanaging this allocation. If that is the case, then please could you tell the committee which provinces you think are not allocating sufficient funds to education to warrant this condition being added? And then undertake independent cost effectiveness and quality review of education. Now, at face value, it's quite, the FSC is recommending that this needs to happen and the department supporting the recommendation. So firstly, to me, that's something which the department should probably be doing anyway. And there was no explanation from the presenter that actually we understand there's a cost effectiveness problem and we're currently reviewing it. We understand there's a quality problem and we're currently reviewing it. So it is quite a startling admission that. But if the department now says, right, we agree that this needs to happen, this review needs to happen, I think this committee would then say, right, you've agreed with this recommendation. What are you going to do next? You know, if the committee comes back to this, if the department comes back to this committee, can we say, how's that independent cost effectiveness review going? You committed to doing it, you agreed with the FSC, now how's it going? Can we ask the education minister how the review is going? I don't think the department can loosely agree with the recommendation like this. If they do agree with the recommendation, then we need to see solid plans of how they're going to make it happen. And then lastly, the community education and training centres for out-of-school youth. I guess theoretically it makes sense for the equitable share to be linked to the proportion of students that are enrolled. My first question would be, do we have the data to support that kind of, I mean, the whole equitable share is data-driven. If we don't have the data of enrollment versus non-enrolled students, then we can't amend a formula like that. My second question is, with these community education and training centres, what will the role of the province be here? And what are any provinces doing anything with out-of-school youth, with these 500,000 out-of-school youth? If so, would those programs continue, or is this community education and training centre simply something that National is going to say, we're going to take care of 500,000 kids who are not in school? What is the province's role with regards to that policy? Thank you.
Any other questions? None? My response?
Thank you, Cheng. Let me start off with the page number 5, the table referring to Mpumalanga and Northern Cape universities, as well as the issue around additional enrollment in public FET colleges. Chairperson, page number 5 is actually part of the bid of the department to National Treasury for the new MTF period. So those are not monies in our possession at the moment. That is what we requested as additional funding for the MTF in order to continue the work on all of these areas. So those are all planned processes, which is unfunded at the moment, and those are the bits that we've put in. So in terms of the two universities, I can mention at the moment that the minister has already established two separate review teams, one for each province. They are already working, and based on preliminary indications, that is the amount that we reflect on page number 5, which include, for instance, the creation of infrastructure, etc. Those are the monies that we would require over the next 3 years to establish fully-fledged institutions in both provinces. I cannot report at this point in time, nor the department, on what the outcome of the review teams will be and the recommendations that they will make to the minister, but we preempt some of the situations in both provinces. And that is how we ended up with requesting the 800 million odd over the MTF period in order to establish the institutions. I can assure you that the minister and the department is also serious to ensure that something happened in both of those provinces. The difficulty, big difficulty that we have, and that is the reason for this bit, is that we do not have any funding at the moment except the small baseline amounts that we have for the two institutions and the current functioning in the two provinces. So therefore, we requested this bit, and we'll see what is the situation when we get our allocations over the MTF. In terms of the FET colleges, the bids are also not to create additional FET colleges. but only to increase enrollments. So this is not for additional FET colleges, physical infrastructure, additional infrastructure. The bit that we have there is only to increase the enrollments in the current FET colleges in the various campuses. Chairperson, in terms of the the funding of staff at provincial level, the amount in the conditional grant for provincial staff is only for those specific components which deal with FET colleges. So you have in all the provinces at least a fully fledged directorate. That previously, when it was still part of the provincial responsibilities, had the monitoring and evaluation roles in terms of FET colleges. And it is those components who may eventually, when the function is fully fledged nationally, some of those staff may even be moved to national, but it is those staff that we include as part of the conditional grant. That was also identified by the provinces themselves during the last year when the conditional grant was established by Treasury. Treasury, together with the provincial treasuries and the provincial education departments, identified the relevant staff and their salaries, and that is what is included in the conditional grant. I can also report that part of the monitoring of the grant, provinces actually report to our FET unit what they actually pay, which salaries are paid, so there is full control over that. In terms of the health professions conditional grant, let me mention at this point in time that, and I would want to refer to these discussions between the two departments. I'm not personally involved at this moment. It is really high-level discussions between the two directors general and the specific line function officials to look into this whole matter of the health profession and development, the training and development grant. There is also further discussions which I think I need to refer to, which also refer to matters like the nursing colleges, matters like the agricultural colleges with the Department of Agriculture. There are quite a number of discussions at the moment. The reason for that is that I think with the establishment of this new department, there is room to look into all kinds of education and training at the level, out of the school level, where there may be certain training taking place, and some of those functions may need to move to the department. The discussions on the agricultural colleges, for instance, are quite far at the moment. The difficulty there, once again, is that it is actually provincial functions at the moment. So all those things need to be taken into account. It's not only to agree with the department and to move the functions. There are some legal implications and other implications as well. The questions by Honourable Harris in terms of the recommendations, in terms of the block grant, actually those were last year also identified in the committee when it was also then part of the recommendation of the FSC. That was still when we were the old Department of Education. That is that what we experienced and the is actually a record thereof and a lot of information in that respect. If one look at the, I can't recall all the percentages 100% at the moment, but if one look at the general trend in terms of the equitable share, provincial education departments should receive approximately 50% of the equitable share amount as allocations. The trend is actually that it varies between 39 and approximately 46%. So it is in fact so if one bluntly look at the percentage of the equitable share applicable to education, provincial education departments do not receive the full allocation that they should. And those figures, I think if one can go with back in history and get some of the information from the old Department of Education files, we could perhaps provide that to the committee. In terms of the issue of cost effectiveness and quality, I think the reason why we agree with the recommendation by the FFC and as department we already started with that, is that we cannot simply accept that everything is 100%. There is always room for improvement. I think that is one of the areas that we as department look at. In fact, we already started with one specific institute, the Indlela Institute, where they do training for artisans, which we inherited as part of the new department. We already started with such a review and look into the cost effectiveness and look into the quality of that institute over the past 2 to 3 months already. A report is due to us around the end of August. So that is definitely something that we already started with. In addition, and I can mention that in discussions with the minister, in discussions at senior management in the department, even when we prepared these bids that we go to National Treasury with, as reflected on page number 5, a number of times the question came up, what is the current effectiveness and efficiency in some of the institutions? We may come and we may ask for additional money. We may want to increase subsidies. But are there areas where we can improve? Are there areas where we can reprioritize rather than just simply ask for additional money? So those areas are looked into. It is quite difficult in one way. Some of these institutions are autonomous, and it is not always that easy. We also extend that not only to some of the educational institutions, but also to our public entities. In fact, the meeting that the Director General is with at the moment, with the Minister, is with the National Student Financial Aid Scheme, simply because there are efficiency problems at the moment. And we will continue those meetings tomorrow morning. So yes, Honourable Aris, that is definitely receiving attention on our side. The matter of community education and training centres, let me be honest, I want to repeat very, very seriously that this is not something that's already a decision. This is something that the department is investigating at the moment. There are a lot of research that's been done by people outside government. Some of them already published some of those, and those are where we received most of the data, that it is quite clear that quite a large percentage of youth is out of school, which is a huge concern. And through the, and this is one possibility, and that's why I say this is something that we are still looking at, the community centres for education and training, it's one possibility of addressing this problem of youth that's not in school. That is something that, that needs to be looked at. In terms of the enrollment data in schools, I think the Department of Basic Education has got a learner record system which is quite outdated as far as I know. They could perhaps tomorrow address that in a bit more detail, where enrollment data is quite accurate at the moment. So it would perhaps be possible to look into the differences in terms of the normal statistics on which the equitable share is based and the actual enrollment data and look at those deviations as well. Chairperson, if there's perhaps anything in addition, maybe I can just, I wanted to mention the issue around the dilapidated colleges and dilapidated infrastructure at some of the institutions. As part of the monitoring of the condition of grant, our FET unit at the moment is looking at all the infrastructure that the department will inherit. We must take into account that this is still provincial property, it's still managed by the provinces, and we have to take stock of all the infrastructure if this function is now fully fledged, transferred to national. That we have a look at all the infrastructure and at that point in time definitely an audit of what do we have, what do we need, and what the actual status of those are. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. To National Treasury, Mrs. Swanu.
Thank you. quite a number of issues were raised, and I think there's a few important issues. The one question that was asked with regard to the current spending on the provincial education departments compared to what they receive through the equitable share. If you can just give me a bit of time, I'll see by tomorrow. Otherwise, I'll send it to later. But National Treasury do get all the information, and we do release it on a quarterly basis through Section 32 reports of the PFMA, so that information is available. So we can produce that and we can forward it to yourselves. Then with regard to, and it's been raised quite a lot today, and keep in mind what I'm saying now is just going to be general remarks. But there's also a difference between ensuring that you get the accurate allocation or sufficient allocation and then ensuring that that money is actually appropriately spent. For example, you can ensure that sufficient money is allocated, for example, to education or to health, but you don't necessarily get the desired outcomes. For example, you can make money available for certain things and then it's spent on something else. Some of the trends that we've picked up, for example, is that if you need to look at the relationship between administrative staff compared to actually core staff, that in certain cases when money is made available, it's actually directed towards administrative staff and not necessarily the core staff. The argument is thrown that they don't have sufficient money, but the money that was made available for that purpose has been used elsewhere. To some extent, what needs to be looked at and proposed that the committee deliberate on that is a block grant, for example, won't address those type of concerns. It will ensure that sufficient money is made available in the sector, which in a lot of cases is already happening, but it won't ensure that the money is spent on the correct things. If you look at the constitution, and it makes it very clear that a national government has very specific roles. The one is to make policy, and the other one is to ensure that those policies are implemented. And in the Constitution, it's generally referred to as the National Department's responsibility for norms and standards, and then the monitoring of this. And it's very important that we actually explore that further as well. What can departments do actually to ensure that the money is actually spent on the correct things? So those are just the few ideas that I'm putting forward. Thanks.
Mr. Kumalu.
Just a few things. I think most of the issues that the department has spoken to are basically consistent with the plans that we also picked up at the beginning of the year when we dealt with the appropriation bill in terms of what the department wanted to do. So for us, as Mr. Trudeau has indicated, some of these things are still being discussed, and it would be important that some of those decisions are actually taken more urgently, especially in relation to the process around the further education and training program, because once you conditionalize funding, there will be a tendency from the provincial side to basically not look after that. So they look after it in as far as you have provided the funding, and as has been highlighted here, if you are doing this in the face of collapsing infrastructure, those things can actually get worse if the process takes a long time. So it will be important that the process is finalized as soon as possible. Otherwise, you might have very negative outcomes on the program itself. So I think we did raise that as well in our submission on the Division of Revenue Bill when it was tabled, and so it's a matter that we will be watching. Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Kumalu. Follow-ups, Mr. Mashili.
Yeah, Chair, it's not necessarily a follow-up, but it's a plea. It's a plea that if the National Department expects those FETs to be transferred to them, then they must get involved now for, you know, for the funding of the next coming year, because they must try and get involved in there, because the current provincial department may not make necessary allocations for the coming year, and because they know that that's going to shift to others. And the other issue, I think FSC has raised it, but I just wanted to make it much more clearer, is that currently the funds may be deviated from rehabilitating and improving the infrastructure of the FET colleges by the provinces, because they know that they are going to dump it to somebody else tomorrow. And when they dump it to you, then you'll find that the state will almost require rebuilding some of these buildings instead of maintaining them. And of course, you have not responded to the recommendations of FSC in terms of the maintenance. You have just mentioned it in passing, I think, on the last page. But one thing for sure is that maintenance of infrastructure has become one big problem, and it is going to be one big spending line if ever we have to make sure that our things are running correctly. And also, like this block grant, and especially when it comes to maintenance, as we move forward, as proposed by FSC, and how are we going to ensure that the necessary funds that must go into maintenance actually go in there? Because the tendency since the past is that there were competing needs and priorities that actually put the maintenance to the back seat. Now, this block funding is actually going to encourage flexibility of shifting funds in there. And now I think we just need to hear how are we going to really ensure that infrastructure is maintained within the Department of Higher Education Training. Thanks, Chairperson.
Anyone else? None? You want to respond to that?
Yes, in two ways, perhaps just very quickly. Firstly, yes, we have an influence over the allocations of future years. That is one reason why we currently do the funding through the conditional grant. So, in principle, what it means is that National Treasury actually took the money away from the provinces, in fact. And we physically allocate the money to the provinces, so in that way, yes, we do have control. In terms of the maintenance, we agree that there will need to be some specific focus on the existing campuses. The conditional grant have one portion that specifically provides for infrastructure planning and maintenance. It's almost like an earmarked portion within the conditional grant, and that is monitored, unfortunately only started 1 April, but that is also separately monitored in the process of our FET unit looking at all the conditional grant matters. So it is receiving attention, and hopefully we will have some success through that process as well. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you for your response. Honourable members, we will reconvene again tomorrow at 10 o'clock, again in the same venue. We are the first committee to have a meeting in this room. I'm quite impressed with the facilities here. I told the secretary that we negotiate to put up a board outside, finance committee, for future meetings. Yeah, we battled to get in here. You don't know what happened last night, but we are here. We will reconvene tomorrow at 10 o'clock. We will then take immediately the Department of Basic Education and then conclude as the agenda is printed here. ANC members must please stay behind.